Thanks, Jamie. Oh, man. Sounds like a fun weekend coming up, huh? Aren't you glad you're here? Come on. We know how to throw a party. Man, I'm still just kind of like buzzing from worship. I don't know if you're new to worship. If there's one thing that you'll notice, it's that it's not just a song service, is it? I remember growing up, and I used to love playing these VHS tapes called sing-along songs. And it was just like kids' nursery rhymes, and then like the little dot would like hop along the words you're supposed to sing. And I'm just thinking during worship, like, I'm so glad that worship is actually, that was fun, but worship is way funner, right? It's because the presence of God shows up. The presence of God shows up, and we don't just shout hallelujah because it sounds like a good thing to do and it gets people hyped up. We shout because we know that it's doing things in this unseen spiritual world that's accomplishing so much more than we could on our own. And so, man, I love the atmosphere of worship that gets set here and in our lives. Shayla, thanks for being vulnerable and just saying, hey, I know how to shout a hallelujah even when life is rough. So I just really just love you, love your family. Thank you for just being an example of what it means to press through and push for breakthrough even in the midst of life's trials and struggles. So just bless you and your family this morning. And I just believe that there is going to be just greater levels of breakthrough for all of us as we learn that the exercise of our faith, even in the midst of life mysteries, right? The mysteries of life are some of the hardest things to navigate through. But if we just keep ourselves grounded in, I know who my Jesus is. I know who God is in my life. I know that he's a good father. We're going to make it, aren't we? Yeah. So, have you guys been loving this series we've been in for the last couple of weeks? Yeah. Talking about stretch. Man, it's so good, but it's so challenging at the same time, right? Learning how to stretch our perspective, to stretch our hearts, to expand our capacity. We've been talking about it for the last little over a month, and I get to close out that series this morning. And I entitled my message, Stretch Your Kingdom Capacity. Kingdom is a huge word. It's a word that gets thrown around the church a lot, but hopefully as we get into this morning, we can break down a little bit of what that means for us, what it means in our reality just as individuals, what it means for the world, because again, it's one of those words that gets thrown around a lot, but I think sometimes it's good to get reminders of what the kingdom of God is and how we relate to that kingdom, how we relate to it in the world around us. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. And to start off, I wanted to read 2 Corinthians 4:18. It's a short verse, but a powerful one. And this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church, and he's reminding the church of this. He says, "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And I love this verse because it's Paul reminding us that if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, if you label yourself a Christian, and I know that a lot of people in America label themselves a Christian, there's a lot of people that are a fan of Jesus, and there is nothing wrong with that. But if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, you have to get to the point where you understand that you are training yourself to focus in on a world and a reality that surpasses your natural senses. You have to train yourself to believe in and to get to understand and to grasp a world that is outside your physical reach, but it's actually right in front of you. Right? Just because something isn't seen by your natural senses doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Just because outer space is full of huge distances of nothing. Like I love sci-fi. Like I love watching all these space exploration shows, and they're like, well, if you were to get in a car and try to drive to Mars, it would take you 3 billion years. And you're just like, I don't even know those distances. Just because there's a lot of space that we can't see anything happening in doesn't mean that it's empty. Taste them, feel them, it doesn't matter because they're there. And he's actually saying they're actually more powerful than anything in the physical. He says the things that you can actually see and feel and touch, those things are just going to be temporary anyway. The stuff that is unseen is the stuff that actually determines what happens in the seen realm. And it's actually the stuff that's going to continue throughout all of eternity. I say that this morning because we as human beings are created with the same realities. We have a physical body, but we actually have an unseen spiritual body that was created before our physical body was. And after our physical body ceases to function, it will go on into eternity as well.
Yeah, come on.
So there is so much more behind the scenes of who you are than just what you see in front of you. And I know that we live in a culture and we live in a world where what is seen is considered paramount to everything else. Right? Our social media profiles are full of images of our best days and our best sides and our best date nights. It doesn't matter that I could have had like an epic fight with my wife a day before. The fact that I took her to Daniel's Broiler and we took a picture of the prime steak that we ate and there were flowers at the table and everybody's smiling, that's the picture that's important. That's the one that I want to present to the world. There is so much more that goes on behind the scenes and underneath the skin of who we are. And the Apostle Paul is saying, pay attention to the unseen things. Because they actually determine more than your physical realm does. Right? So, those unseen spiritual forces actually control all of what we see in the physical realm and will continue long after the physical is gone. And I want to submit to you this morning that the most powerful part of you as a person created in the image of God, the Bible says, who is spirit, by the way. You are created with a spirit as well. And that is the most powerful part of who you are. It existed. It was created by God before your physical body was, before you were born on earth. And it will continue after your physical body is done here on earth. The part of you that's invisible, the part of you that was alive before you were even a thought in your parents' mind, that's the part that Jesus wants to come alive more in you. That's the part that God chooses to connect with. He loves all of us. He loves our physical body. He loves our emotions. He loves our will. But our spirit is what God longs to connect with underneath it all, because that's the part that's the original. That's who you are. That's what drives your life. It's what drives your decisions. It's what drives how you see the world, how you think, how you react, how you raise a family, how you do your job, what motivates you, what causes you to get up in the morning, maybe what causes you to not want to get up in the morning. Right. The Apostle Paul is saying it all begins in your spirit.
Come on.
The part of you, the body is just reacting to what's going on in the innermost parts of you. Now, the Bible has a term for this inner part of yourself, and it just calls it the heart. To give it a general term, the heart is the part that controls the rest of you. And it's comprised of your spirit and your soul. The spirit, the part that was created, your essence, your personality, your traits, your gifts, your talents, all placed in you. And then when you were knitted together in your mother's womb, the Bible says, I like to picture it as there's this flesh union that happens and it creates your physical body. But as that's going on, God literally knits a part of his spirit and his heart to that flesh that's being created in your family line, and you come into the world. So I say all this because we have to understand our heart is important. Our heart causes us to act a certain way. And in Luke chapter 6, Jesus says this. He says, a good man will bring good things out of the good that is stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus said, hey, listen, what I'm talking about, this kingdom revolution that is happening right now, and what I come to represent is not behavioral damage control. It's not shape up or ship out. And I believe we give the Pharisees a bad rap, the religious leaders of the day. I believe that there were some bad ones, but I also believe there were some good ones that just needed a little bit of a perspective adjustment. He says, hey, I mean, Jesus was more like the Pharisees than he was like anybody else. I think we forget that. I mean, he practiced the laws, the traditions, but he said, remember, this isn't just about what's going on the outside. Right. It's not about you looking the part. The only way that you are going to be like me through and through is to address what's going on in your heart. What is happening in your spirit? What is happening in your soul that is causing you to react the way you do to the world around you? He says, it's not about what comes into you that causes you to act a certain way. It's what's already coming out of you. And Jesus said, the good news is there's never been a way to address that issue, but because I am here and my kingdom is here, I can fix that for you.
Amen.
I'm going to show you a new way to live. And I say all that today to say this. Jesus came and he used the terminology, because I am here, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. In fact, it is among you.
Right.
And what he was talking about, because God's kingdom has always existed. Yeah. Like what's going on in heaven right now is totally just all God and what he, like in heaven, there's no sickness, there's no death, it's eternal, there's worship going on 24/7, just pouring out of the throne room of God because his kingdom is established. But then Jesus comes on the scene, Jesus carrying the full heart of God in the flesh says, because I am here in the flesh, the kingdom is now in front of you. And what he is saying is, and that kingdom can actually live inside of you as well. And all the stuff about your own personal kingdom that is causing you stress, that is causing you sleepless nights, that's caused you pain, that's caused you to react in ways that you don't like reacting to people, I'm here to tell you that there can be a major kingdom shift inside your heart and it will change everything.
Yeah. Come on, Ray.
Right.
Man, I like preaching. See, the truth is, every single one of us has been created in the image of God, so that means we all have a kingdom or a queendom,
right,
a government that we have. We can exercise our decisions, and our decisions affect what happens in our realm of influence.
Right, right.
My girls are testing that theory all the time. And usually it happens for some reason right now. The phase is every night at the dinner table. My daughter Alexa, who's 3 and a half, sits there, stares at her chicken, and goes, in my kingdom, we don't eat this. In my kingdom, it's candy canes, candy corns, lollipops, and maple syrup. I don't like the chicken, but what I would like is an Eggo waffle smothered in maple syrup, and I have to exercise my kingdom and say, well, sweetie, that's really great of you to make that suggestion, but in my kingdom that actually rules over yours right now, you not eating that is a capital offense, punishable by you going to bed very early tonight. So, man, the struggle is real. It's like annoying, but it's awesome at the same time. It's like if you have kids, we're getting ready to have number three, a little baby boy, which is just totally going to rock our kingdom. Like, boys, woo! And I still watching a baby discover like its feet or its hands for the first time. Like, think about this. They're like God put this spirit inside of them and they're experiencing their physical body for the first time and they discover like, whoa, what is this? And then they start like grabbing at you and they start grabbing at things and they're thinking, I can actually control this. I can grab things that I want to grab. I can look at people that I want to look to. All of their atoms and their physical being, their learning that is subject to this, the reign of their will. And they can do what they want with it, and it's amazing and it's awesome. And then they start to learn how to talk and start to make decisions, and you have to try to rein in that little exercise. But it's all amazing because it's this process that God created in each one of us to have a kingdom in and of ourselves. I love what the Christian thinker and theologian Dallas Willard said. He defined kingdom as the range of your effective will. Whatever you truly have the say over, what happens is under the influence of your kingdom. And then we have the kingdom of God, which is the range of God's effective will. Wherever things are functioning the way that God wills that they would, there his kingdom exists. And so Jesus comes on the scene and he says, you know, you can do a kingdom transfer. God doesn't want to just take you out of the picture completely, because we're created in the image and likeness of God. And just controlling people for the sake of controlling them, making them have no decision power whatsoever, that is not being a person. That's why slavery, that's why mind control, that's why manipulation is so abhorrent to us, because it goes completely against what the design of our Creator said, and that is, you do have a will, you do have purpose, you can make decisions, and I want to be able to partner with you to make those decisions. You don't have to make them all autonomous of me, separate from me. You make them with me, and we spread the kingdom of heaven together.
Good.
Good.
And that's why people were in love with Jesus. They were like, man, this is a guy that knows the Bible backwards and forwards. He preaches to the Pharisees, but he doesn't even preach like a Pharisee. He preaches like he's preaching from his own level of authority. He's not just speaking a memorized verse that he heard one time. When he speaks those verses, I've never seen anybody speak them like that. It's like him and God are one and the same. And he says, yeah, I guarantee you that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I only do what I see my Father doing. I have transferred the rule of my personal kingdom toward his. And so when you see my heart, you see the Father's heart, because they're one and the same.
Yeah.
Oh, are you getting this? I love what C.S. Lewis writes. He says, our faith is not a matter of our hearing what Christ said a long time ago and trying to carry it out. Do you hear that? When you get stuck in a religious form of Christianity, it's like you better just try to copy what Jesus did, because that's what good little followers of Jesus do. And when you don't do those things, God is mad. So you need to make him happy again by trying to do your best to do what he did. It's not a matter of hearing what Christ said long ago and trying to carry it out. Rather, the real Son of God is at your side. He is beginning to turn you into the same kind of thing as himself. He is beginning to speak and to inject his kind of life and thought, his Zoe spirit-filled life into you, and he's beginning to turn the tin soldier into a living man. The part of you that does not like this is the part that is still made of tin.
Good.
So to the level that we master and begin to understand the unseen part of who we are and how this kingdom transfer works, is to the level that we're going to have success in our Christian life, and we're going to have success expanding the kingdom all over the world.
Right, right.
And we don't do it in a totalitarian way. And we don't try to do it in a controlling way, even though sometimes that feels like it'd be more comfortable to just stop the carnage and just control people. But Jesus said that's never the way this kingdom is going to advance. Because as big as the kingdom of God is, the thing that really struck me as I prepared for this message is we have to remember that it's teeny tiny at the same time. It seems so insignificant to our natural senses, but Jesus says, that's where the gold is.
Right, right.
Because this kingdom transfer is never just going to be heaven coming down to earth and superimposing itself and imposing its will on governments or theories or people groups. It's going to be kingdom expansion, one heart at a time, as people fall in love with the heart of Jesus and what he carried, and all of a sudden the kingdom transfer happens inside of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Come on. That's the way it happened for all of us if we love Jesus, and that's the way it gets to happen for everybody else.
That's right. We don't get to make the rules. We don't get to change the rules. We don't get to say, well, I fell in love with Jesus and started to follow him, but you don't have that option anymore. I'm just going to start telling you what to do. Everything that Jesus taught and did showed us that we should never try to depersonalize the kingdom of God and its spread throughout the earth.
Wow.
The kingdom of God didn't descend from heaven onto issues or groups of people that we don't agree with or onto a specific movement. The kingdom of God created a movement of itself into the world through a man named Jesus Christ. And he showed us, and he continues to show us through his power and his grace, that the kingdom comes alive person to person, one heart at a time.
Good.
As his heart touches ours, as his heart transforms ours, the kingdom advances.
Amen.
And I'm preaching to myself in that because it's easy to have kind of this macro, big picture view of God's kingdom.
Right, right.
And it's easy to, I'm a news watcher, which on some days it's good, on some days it's probably not good for me to do that. Because it's easy just to have this view of what's going on and forget that people are involved in this.
Right, right. Yeah.
And we start shouting down people because we're annoyed. Because there's a real righteous anger that happens when you see things not functioning the way that God's heart wants them to function, right? There's death and there's carnage and there's heartbreak. And that grieves us. But I've learned I can't just take my grief out on random people.
Yeah.
Because I'm completely living contrary to what I'm supposed to be, and that is helping people fall in love with Jesus, not hate him even more because of my bad attitude. And, you know, I think I'm being safe about it because I'll just yell at my TV most of the time. I can't believe you even, who thinks like that? And I just think it's harmless because I'm not actually shouting at them in person. I'm just, it's like road rage. I'm doing it from behind the glass of my driver's seat, so I feel really safe doing it. Idiots, you know. But Jesus confronts me on that.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't care if it's just you standing in your living room getting mad at the world for everything that's going on. Your heart is becoming calloused because of your attitude. Remember, it all is about people.
Yeah.
The only way that this kingdom transfer happens is heart to heart. And when you choose to exercise distancing your heart from the hearts of other people because of the things that you're annoyed at, this whole thing isn't going to work. Okay, sorry if that got a little too intense.
Good.
This is what it says in Matthew 13, okay? It's a really long chapter, and Jesus says a lot in it. But he's teaching in parables, and he just gets done teaching the parable of the sower about sowing seeds of truth in the field and the different reactions to the different soil types. We won't get into that because that's a whole different message. But this is what the disciples are asking Jesus, like, hey, Jesus, we know that you are really smart and you see the unseen realm like nobody else, but why do you keep speaking in parables? Because we don't get it, and I'm pretty sure that nobody else does either. Like, are you trying to make it easier or harder? And this is what Jesus' response is. He says, for this people's heart has become calloused. They've become hard. What is the issue again? It's the inner part. He's like, the problem here starts at the deepest level. It's a heart issue in people. It's not that I'm being an ineffective communicator. It's the fact that I'm trying to prove a point that there's a callousness over people. They've become callous. They hardly hear with their ears. And they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts. Where's understanding come from? Jesus said, with your heart.
Yeah.
And turn. And I would heal them. But he looks at his disciples and he says, blessed are your eyes because they can see and your ears because they can hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they wanted to hear what you hear, but they didn't get to hear it. Why can't people see and hear? Because their hearts become hard. And they stop putting priority on the unseen spiritual realities of what's really going on. And they decided to just start shouting at their TV screens and carrying out their their self-righteous frustrations on everybody else. And kind of in a weird way getting angry at God too. Like, hey, I thought this was supposed to be your kingdom. What's going on? Why does everything seem so out of control? We got to be careful that our hearts don't get hard, because the hardness of heart is what causes us to close ourselves off to Jesus' heart and what he sees in people.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We got to train ourselves, Paul said, to see the unseen. You have to look past behavior patterns that don't look like the kingdom. You got to look past weeds growing in somebody's garden that you think should be apple trees at this point. And you have to be able to see their heart the way God sees it, because he said the only way that stuff is going to get pulled out is if I can touch their heart. You got to be an accurate representation of who I am.
Good.
See, because it's impossible, Jesus said, to really hear and see the kingdom for what it is with a hardened heart, because a kingdom heart requires a pure, unbiased heart connection to people and to Jesus. And when I start putting my own rules and stipulations on what that looks like for me, I'm distancing myself from the heart of God, and I'm furthering myself from what he wants to do in his kingdom, and I'm just closing myself off to options. Because this is what I believe, and this is how I want to believe it, and this is how I want to address it. And Jesus said, that's cool, because you have your kingdom too, but your kingdom is looking less and less like mine. I'm just letting you know that right now. In Matthew 13, 24, Jesus started speaking in a parable again. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. How mean. And he just walked away. So when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? I think a lot of times Christians ask that of God. I see a lot of weeds popping up in the world. Didn't you say it was your kingdom that was going to reign? I don't want to question your methods, but where then did the weeds come from? The owner says an enemy did this. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? Now listen to this response. No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. And both need to grow together until it's harvest time. Man, that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that just popped out at me last week. I was like, whoa, okay, download. I see what's going on here. Jesus, you're good. Hey, just because you see weeds doesn't mean you need to pull them right away. I think there's a lot of godly wisdom in that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's easy for me to think I'm some kind of huge prophetic voice because I can notice a bunch of things that are going wrong. Oh, man, look at that guy. Yeah, totally. We call it discernment.
Right.
But it's really just a spirit of skepticism. Like, ooh, I don't know what's going on, but something ain't right. I know there's weeds there. Right? That's what I do when I watch the news. I'm getting real good at it. Oh, I know what that gal's up to. Look at her pacing through Congress like that. Woo! There's some spirits alive in her. Man, it gets really good to spot all the weeds. And then we think we're being good little Christians by pouncing on them as fast as we can in people. Do you know Jesus yet? I just wanted to ask. Because you really freaked me out, but let's just get that question out of the way. Do you know? And they don't even know who you are. You just walked up and said that, and now they're freaked out totally. And Jesus looks at you and says, okay, nice try, but remember what I said about the weeds and the wheat. We got to let things process a little bit longer. Like, sometimes Jesus, what I love about Jesus is he is perfect in his timing, but did you notice that as he walked through the world and obviously noticed how much people didn't get it, even his 12 disciples, he was never like paranoid about it, and he was never freaking out about it. I think if we're living our Christian life freaking out about how bad it is and how many people don't get it, we got something backwards. Because Jesus was extremely focused on his mission 100% of the time, but his eyes were never like bugging out of his head. I can't believe you guys don't get it yet. You're asking me about the parable again? Oh man, we need to go start pulling some weeds, fellas. Sit down. This is going to be a long prayer service. He understood that it's a process. And harvest time, if you're honest with yourself and if you're honest with people, there are multiple harvest times throughout a person's life. There are times when the Holy Spirit is going to pinpoint something in your heart, and he's going to pinpoint something in another person's heart that you love, but you know that there's some weeds. And in wisdom and in self-control, which we have through the Holy Spirit, sometimes he's going to whisper, keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Yeah.
Go have coffee. Don't mention anything about the thing. Just talk. And inside you're like, but I see the weeds. It's there. It's stinky weed too. It's stinky. It stinks all over it. I don't care how he smells right now. Just connect with his heart.
Yeah, good. That's good.
Sometimes it's wisdom not to try to lead somebody to the Lord the minute you introduce yourself to him. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to be, that's going to make it real awkward. Keep your mouth shut on that. They're going to be able to see that you love somebody other than yourself just by the way that you're relating and how joyful you are. So let's just, there'll be other opportunities. And then we get all paranoid and we're like, but what if it's not? What if there's not? What if I get in a car wreck on the way home? What if they do? We're not supposed to live that stressed out. God does have an eternal kingdom that is functioning. And his constant invitation is for us to join with his.
Yeah.
Just continue to try to do things the way I'm doing them, because that's where grace comes in. That's where the spirit of power comes into your life, and things start to move a lot more quickly than your little plan of however you wanted to have that conversation is going to go. Have you ever noticed that about, I mean, those of us that are married, there's a way that I plan out in my head. I want to talk to my wife about something. And if I don't shut my head up enough to actually listen to what the Spirit is, how the Spirit's asking me to address something, it never turns out good. I'm just telling you that right now. I'm just being completely 100% honest. Honey, I feel really tired right now. Well, why don't you just go take a nap? Solution. And then tears. Oh, you wanted me to sit with you. I should have asked Jesus about that before I just blurted out my first response. See, the truth is, we can desire to be doing the right thing, but we can be doing it in the wrong way. And I think Christians just got to be a little bit more careful sometimes, because if we really want to expand our kingdom capacity, we got to stop taking pot shots at people that we don't even know, because we're just angry that the world isn't the way that we want it to be. And we have to start connecting with people. And that's hard. That takes like action. That takes vulnerability from us. Oh man, vulnerability. Ugh. Jesus, you actually want me to be real with what my problems are? I'm a pastor. I got an image to uphold. I'm a man of the cloth. I wear army shirts even though I've never spent a day in the military. Because that's what's cool. My mom said that this morning. I walked up to give her a hug like I always do at church. And she's like, oh, you have an army shirt. I don't know why I made her sound like she's from Wisconsin. But an army shirt, don't you know? So we watch like Disney movies all the time in our house. And so we've been watching The Incredibles 2. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it is.
And so there's this scene where this big media mogul is wanting to get superheroes because they're illegal at that point, and he's trying to get them back in the mainstream. So he's like, we need to go on a campaign because it's all about perspective, how people perceive you, and what they're seeing right now is just that you come in and destroy a bunch of things and then leave and the bad guys get away. So we got to change that. And so of course Mr. Incredible, who's like the family patriarch and the biggest dude in the room, stands up and he's like, I'm in, let's go for it. And this media mogul guy says, man, your enthusiasm is priceless, but we're not going to use you right away. And he looks and he's like, what are you talking about? I'm Mr. Incredible. And this is what he says. He says, heavyweight problems require heavyweight solutions. And the guy just looks at him and goes, yeah, but I'm not willing to test the insurance will pay for everything theory just yet. And he goes, what, you say not like I destroy a lot? He's like, yeah, so we're actually going to use your wife instead. Right? And he takes it personally and he's like, whoa, hey, I'm Mr. Incredible, you know. Incredible. Catching the bad guys, pow, pow, pow. This is what happens in my living room every single day. I don't got time to study, I just watch movies. But I think there's a lot of biblical truth in that. Because we know something and we're confident doesn't mean we have to act right away. Because God is like, hey, I'm big enough to clean up your messes, but don't just use Jesus as an insurance policy anymore. Okay? Because as you mature as a believer and you grow in wisdom of what the kingdom is inside of you, you're not willing to just go out and create messes because you just think Jesus will clean it up. I'm just going to spit the truth, and however they want to receive it, they can. I'll just walk away. I'm just going to throw some seeds. I don't care if they don't know me. I don't care if they don't know my heart. I just need to tell them that's wrong. It's disgusting. You disgust me. I can't believe you would live like that. And then just walk away. And Jesus, his heart is breaking because he's like, come on, stop it. You're creating more of a mess. You're pulling up wheat that's already there because you're just so intent on the thing that you're focused on. And we got to broaden our perspective a little bit. We can dream big for people. We can dream big for this nation. We can dream big for the world. We can dream big for Maple Valley. But we can't just let big dreams and desires cloud the wisdom of God at the start. Zeal and wisdom have to walk hand in hand. Is this good?
Yeah.
I'm not angry. I'm just a little out of breath. Because I've been spending a lot of time in front of the TV and not as much in the row machine, so I just, woo! Here's one thing I want to leave you with. Worship team, you guys can come on up if you want. God told, there's the story of Cain and Abel in the Old Testament, and Cain was just angry that his offering to God was not acceptable to God. And this is what God warned him. He said, in your anger, do not sin. I know that you feel angry right now, but don't let it turn into sin. Sin is crouching at your door, and it is waiting for you to take the first step out of anger instead of the first step in wisdom and grace and understanding. Of course, Cain did not listen to that, and he killed his brother, and the whole world went to pot after that. So, just kidding, it's coming back. But don't forget that the kingdom of God is huge, but it starts small. God's wisdom in kingdom planting in our hearts and in people's hearts is that he plants a seed first. It always starts as a seed. But the promise is always a mighty oak tree. And in our zeal to see all these oak trees in the world around us, we have to remember that there is still wisdom in the seed being planted first. And our job is not necessarily to be the oak tree planter. Our job are to be seed planters, and God wants to make us expert harvesters when it's harvest time. But we can't shortchange the process. We have to remember, Jesus is the one who said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. We have to let the seed sprout. Our job as kingdom advancers, as people who love the heart of God, is to just be faithful with the seeds that are in people's lives. And I, for one, am a huge fan of this because I have a responsibility to connect with people, but it's not my responsibility to determine where their life goes. It's not my responsibility to carry the weight of somebody else's problems and stress out about it. And let my eyes bug out of my head and let my blood pressure go up, because I know that the Spirit of God And the heart of Jesus is so infinitely better than I am at solving the deep issues of people's heart. The Bible says that the heart of a man is a deep well, and a man of understanding pulls out the deep things of the heart. And I rely on the Holy Spirit in my own life to pull understanding of what's going on inside of me. And I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to pull understanding of what's going on in other people. I can't just assume that I know. Is that okay? The kingdom is expanding. People always ask this question because it's always about the end of the world. And that Christians don't just own that. Everybody owns that. The end of the world's coming sooner rather than later because Jesus is coming back, or the end of the world's coming sooner rather than later because we cows fart too much and the atmosphere is going to be destroyed, and I don't even know if it's worth having kids because it's all going to end in 12 years anyway. I don't know. Everybody's got their apocalypse theory. Whether they believe in Jesus or not, it's like really a cool thing to write books about right now. I don't care about that. What I care about is I know that weeds sprout up, but I also know that the wheat is growing. Yeah. So when people ask me the question, hey, is the world getting worse? Yeah. Hey, is the world getting better? Is the kingdom advancing? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, are you talking out of both sides of your mouth just trying to please everybody? No, I just know the truth. Weeds grow, but wheat grows at the same time. And when it's harvest time in people's hearts, Jesus is going to come and he's going to separate all the junk and all the weeds and all the dirt, just like he does in the seasons of our life. And then wheat is just going to take off. And Jesus promised it's going to produce a crop 30, 60, even 100 times the seed that was sown. But you got to be patient with the process, Christians. Man, if you want to just stand, I just feel like we should just end in worship. And I don't know, just raise a hallelujah to Jesus because his kingdom reigns. And if there's one thing I want you to leave with this morning, it's that his kingdom is reigning in your heart. And all it takes is this really huge, powerful word called surrender. And as you raise your hallelujah to Jesus, amidst your frustrations and your hurts and your pains, the Spirit of God can come into that moment and he can heal your heart. And he can take the tin out of it and he can replace it with flesh so you can actually feel what he feels and see what he sees. I just feel like there needs to be a cry in the church. There needs to be a cry in us that follow Jesus to say, I want to be able to fully see what you see, and I want to hear things the way you hear things. I don't want a calloused heart. I don't want the partial view. I want the full thing, but I know it's going to take surrender. Surrender of my attitude. Surrender of my hang-ups. Surrender of my lack of understanding of people. Surrender of my insecurities and fears. I want to be able to love people like you love people, Jesus. The kingdom revolution started with you, and you did this crazy, mysterious thing, and you said it's just going to continue to advance through the church. And friends, that's you and me. We're the church. He's doing it through us. You may see a lot of weeds in your own heart, but guess what? The wheat is there. And the Holy Spirit's going to be faithful. And the grace of Jesus is going to be faithful to remove those things when the time is right and let the fruit of the Spirit of God come alive in you. So can we just lift up a hallelujah to Jesus and say thank you? Amen? Amen.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah in the weapons of melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. King is alive. inside of me. I'll raise a hallelujah. And I'll watch the darkness flee. I'll raise a hallelujah. In the middle of the mystery, I'll raise a hallelujah. Fear, you've lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope is alive.
Father, we just declare right now in your presence that you're so good. We declare, Jesus, that you are not just a role model. You're not just a historical figure, but you are alive in us. Holy Spirit, that you walk beside us. That you're not demanding something of us that is impossible, but because, Jesus, you paved the way, we get to walk in your kingdom authority. We get to make decisions. But I pray that as our heart meshes more and more with your heart, as the callousness drops off, as our hang-ups, as our insecurities, as our fears, as we just sang, melt away in your love, that it would be your love and your truth and your grace that would so radiate from us that people would flock to you. We don't want them to flock to us. We want them to flock to you. And Jesus, we know that as we lift you up, people will be drawn to you inside of us. Your power, your grace, your strength. We thank you that your kingdom is advancing, that your truth is prevailing, that you already defeated death, hell, and the grave. There is nothing left to defeat. And so we choose to walk in victory. We're not going to let the enemy convince us to cower in fear, to be discouraged. We carry a message of faith, hope, and love, and we want to be people that radiate faith, hope, and love. So I just pray for where there's breakthrough that needs to happen in hearts, where some of the tin needs to be peeled away, some of the hurt, some of the pain, some of the disillusionment needs to melt away. God, that you would do what only you can do and heal hearts and transform mindsets and let the power of grace flow out of our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I just bless you this morning. I bless your week. Go. Live in the joy of the kingdom. Amen. We'll see you next time.
I'll raise a hallelujah.